Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's wait another minute or two, okay?
Okay.
Have a good day.
Yes, I did. I've had to stay home all day. Didn't have to get in the car and go.
That's always nice. I guess we'll begin.
Okay.
So we are in section 20 of the Sulam commentary on Parasha Lech Lecha. We're going to be starting with Pasuk 175, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bit hilur himud hilud hilur himud. Le'akta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohino aleinu maasei adenu kananei aleinu maasei adenu kananeihu. Na'lan delot achadar l'sar chaneya v'fulchana nukra diktiv v'yisalot mikedem my mikedem Mikad mono shel olam ketiv kaka v'yisa lot mikedem uktiv v'yihi v'nasam mikedem malahalan tilu mikad mono shel olam ufaka kein. The translation. How do we know that Lot reverted to his evil ways of idolatry? We know this from the verse, and Lot journeyed from the east, namely from Yor. And what is the meaning of Yor? It means from him, he who is more ancient than the world. And thus it is written, and Lot journeyed from the east, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east. So because there were there they journeyed away from him, he who is more ancient than the world, it means the same thing here. My commentary. This verse is clear as written. It is important to note the words used in both verses for east are different. What do you learn from this fact? Questions, comments, thoughts?
From both verses, do you mean the one that we did yesterday? Or?
No. No, there are two verses.
In this particular verse, and I've it jogged my memory that that was one of the meanings of east.
Correct. But in Bereshit chapter 13, verse 11, the word is your. And
okay.
In Bereshit chapter 11, verse 1, the word is not your. It's probably Kedem, but it doesn't specify.
Okay. I didn't catch the two Genesis verses there. Okay. And I guess because him is capitalized, they're talking about Hashem and is the him.
Right. Well, okay. One of the names of Hashem is he is he who is more ancient than the world. That phrase alone tells you it's Hashem.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard
to be more ancient than the world, he had to create the world. It's a longer way of expressing the idea of the creator.
Well, he's also referred to as the Ancient of Days, I think.
Correct.
I've heard that phrase many times.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think we get that really from Torah about Lot. I always thought that it was because he saw the pasture land was better. You know, was thinking in terms of his parnasa, not that he was going back to the idolatrous ways. So that's kind of new for me in seeing it in the Zohar regarding Lot.
Well, from the Torah you get that Lot, Abraham said Lot had men that worked for him and Abraham had men that worked for him. And they were fighting with each other. And when Abraham found that out, he investigated. And he said, doesn't say in the Torah, he doesn't embarrass Lot, but he says, you go, whichever way you go, I'll go in the other direction. Now, you know that story, you know those words.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't delved into the question in your mind, why would the men be fighting? There's enough pasture land. What were they fighting about? And essentially, Abraham taught monotheism. And so the men, that is the essence of Abraham. So that is what the men were fighting about. Abraham's men were saying, Abraham speaks truth and he is... So there is only one God. And Lot's men denied that. That's what they were fighting about. The Torah doesn't say that explicitly, but what else would they be fighting about? There was enough pasture land, there was enough water, there was enough grazing. What would they be fighting about? And what we learn from that is really how to ask questions. Because typically, when we're small children and we're being taught the Bible in whatever synagogue or church that you go to, and you're being taught the Bible, you're being taught, well, this is the way it is. The words are clear. These two sets of men were fighting with each other. They were contesting with each other. As children, we don't ask the question, why were they fighting? But the question is, why don't we ask that question? And then later, as teenagers, we're still going to some form of teaching. Why aren't we pushing the rabbi for an answer? Or the priest, or the minister. Why were they fighting? Why do men fight? Men fight over resources. Men fight over consciousness. What else do men fight over? They fight over women. But that's, in those days, that's a resource. But even today, they fight over women. It's just not considered a resource. Thank God. But you're really learning by reading the Zohar, because half the time, they're answering a question that you never asked yourself.
That's true.
And then you have to start asking, why didn't I ask that question? Why did I just accept it? And that is when you start to delve into the words of the Bible, the words of the Torah, more directly. Because you start saying to yourself, why didn't I ask that question? Why didn't it occur to me? I'm being inculcated. I'm being, affected by the words I'm reading, by the people around me who don't ask the question, and I need to ask that question, because that's where my hunger is. That's where the lack I'm feeling is coming from. Verse 176. Kewan de yada Abraham de lot Deha ke nate libeya Miad vayomer Abram Elot Wigomer hi pared Na me alai Late aunt Today, le'at chabara v'hadai, k'dein itperash, Abraham mineya, v'la ba'a l'meyach, ulit chabara imeya, k'kol mandit chabar, l'chayava sofeya, Lemeha chavatreya ulit anash pegineya. The translation. I jumped to a verse, so let me get back. The translation. As soon as Abraham realized that Lot reverted to idolatry, he spoke to him. And Abraham said to Lot, "Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. You are not worthy of associating with me. So Abraham separated from him and did not want to travel with or deal with him anymore, because whoever accompanies a wicked person shall eventually follow in his steps and be punished because of him. My commentary is that the verse is clear as it's written. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I was thinking of today. We have Shalom Bayit. I know I have a friend who has backed off, who was really pursuing Torah and wanted to convert, but her husband just put his foot down. And she listened to her husband. So, in a way, it's the same family issue. But Shalom Bayit would change this completely as to the outcome.
Many times my students have come to me with issues of the two parties are arguing over which synagogue to go to, or they're arguing about some question that they're reading and studying in the Zohar together. But, and one has one opinion, the other has the other opinion, and it leads to strife. And how do you settle that? Because what is an argument for the sake of heaven? Would we call that strife?
Probably not.
The main example is the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say that they were striving with each other. They were in conflict. They were in conflict, but their consciousness was they wanted truth, and they respected the other party. So that respect penetrated their discussions. But whichever one of them was going to, quote unquote, win the argument, they were going to be very happy with whoever won the argument, because it wasn't about winning. It was about finding truth. The message of this verse is very clear. You are going to be impacted by the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
What is that impact?
Well, it's probably relative to each person.
Yes, it is.
So.
It is definitely relative to each person.
And I took it to mean if that was her choice, then that was the way it was supposed to be for right now anyway. And and I don't have to agree with it or disagree with it. So still be her friend.
Exactly. The woman comes to you with the argument, but she's really not coming to you with the argument for a solution. She's coming to vent. She's coming for you to listen. She's coming to you to be her friend. And that is the nature of females.
And she does that.
Yeah. If she wanted to do it differently, she'd come to you and ask you, what should I do? But she never verbalizes that.
Well, she's still reading the weekly commentaries you sent out. She still asks questions. She's still, I know she's still hooked with daily Zohar. And our conversations were still very much Torah, Zohar related. Her family is very, very into Christian ministry, you know, ministers and all. So I can kind of understand. It's a lesson for me to not try to persuade her, you know, but I'm, because probably 10 or 15 years ago I would have been that way.
When we first come to this deep level of Torah, we have this ego, the klipa, and it penetrates us, and it's saying to us, it's speaking in our ear. We know the truth. Why we need to tell everyone the truth? We've learned the truth, so let's tell them. We forget, we never learn really that it's a relative, truth is always relative, except when you get to the level of Hashem. So it's not up to you to solve her issue.
Right.
It's up to you to teach her truth as long as she'll listen. And if she stops listening to truth, then you change the subject and talk about another level of truth, another place, another location, another situation. When she is ready, she will persuade her husband.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what's supposed to happen. And if she's not ready, but she's ready that she can no longer abide the falsehood, then she'll find a way to deal with that as well. It's right. Not up to us to tell her what to do. It's only up to us to remind her that Shalom Bayit is the goal. Because the argument between Hillel and Shammai was never about anything but finding the truth. But if they weighed the truth versus the friendship, which is more important?
Well, for now, the friendship. Because I always
feel
like
let me finish and hold on to your thought, Clemma. Can you find the truth if you're no longer friends? If you push her to convert, using that as a very deep example. If you push her to convert and her husband has put his foot down, does that mean that they'll get divorced? Can she find the truth? Can she influence her husband if they're not married anymore? The answer is no. So you stay open, you stay talking, you stay communicating, you stay trying to answer her questions. But she has to find the way to have Shalom Bayit and accomplish what is truth for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not an easy path. It's not easy for you, it's not easy for her. And I'm sure it's not easy for her husband. We're almost out of time, so.
Okay. Thank you for that. It's good reminders. because I think we're all around people of other faiths and their questions, their condemnation sometimes, you know, and knowing when to speak and not to speak. And it's, you know, we need the reminders every once in a while.
Definitely. You have a good evening, and our 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock class for you will be at, on questions and answers. So hopefully you'll have a question.
Well, I have a little one, a Shalit question.
Well, it'll wait till the next class, right?
Right.
You have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Shalom to all.